Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and really get to the core insights from the material you've shared with us.
That's the goal.
And today, we're looking at something, well, maybe easily overlooked, but actually incredibly powerful in language. Mm-hmm. We're talking about determiners.
Mm-hmm. Tiny words, big impact.
Exactly. So our mission here is simple. Guide you through Chapter 9 of your material. We want to clarify what these determiners actually are.
Right.
Explore the different kinds, you know, the types, and really understand their crucial role, how they make our language precise.
Less ambiguous.
Yes. Precise, unambiguous, and honestly, just more effective. We want to get you that knowledge quickly, thoroughly, hopefully with some aha moments along the way.
Without being overwhelming.
Yeah. Right. No information overload.
And, you know, it might seem like a small grammatical point, this whole topic.
Yeah, determiners. Sounds a bit technical.
It does. But honestly, these words are like the silent architects building meaning in our sentences.
Architects. I like that.
They give us real power over clarity, specificity, making sure what we want to say is actually what gets understood.
Which isn't always easy.
Definitely not. I mean, imagine language without them. It'd just be vague. A kind of muddle.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Lay down the groundwork. The chapter gets right into it. It defines determiners simply as words placed before nouns.
Before nouns. Seems straightforward enough.
It does sound simple, doesn't it? But that position right before the noun, it tells you something important is about to happen with that noun.
It really does. It's like a little signal. Hey, pay attention. I'm about to tell you more about this noun coming up. It narrows things down.
And their main job, as the source says, is to show which one, or how many, maybe whose, or even which type or kind of noun we're talking about.
Right. They help specify or limit a noun. That's the key phrase.
Specify or limit. Okay, what does that really mean, though, in practice? Like, when we're just talking?
Well, it means everything, really. Think about it. If you just said, fetch tool. Which
right.
tool? How many?
Chaos.
Exactly. Is it a tool? The tool we just talked about, that tool over there, my tool, without that little specifying word, you're lost.
So it prevents confusion.
Massively. It makes communication efficient. You don't have to use a whole sentence to explain which one you mean. You just say that one or some or her idea.
So yeah, the question the source raises, how vague would things be without them? Pretty vague, I guess.
Extremely vague. We'd lose so much meaning, so much efficiency. It's fundamental.
Okay, that makes sense. So we know what they do generally. Now, what about the different kinds? The chapter breaks them down into five categories.
Five main groups.
Let's call them five families. Keep it friendly.
Good idea. Families of determiners.
First family. The articles. Everyone knows these. A, an, and the. We use them constantly.
All the time. Probably the most common ones.
So A and am, they're called indefinite articles. You use them for general nouns, right? Like a pencil, just any pencil.
Or an apple, any old apple.
And then there's the, that's the definite article for specific things. Mm-hmm. The sun. Only one of those.
Or the Eiffel Tower. We know which one. It signals shared knowledge or something specific already mentioned or understood in context.
Got it. And the chapter has that little grammar bite about A versus an.
Yes, the sound rule. Use A before consonant sounds and an before vowel sounds.
Sounds, not just letters.
Crucially, yes. Like a university, because university starts with a Y sound, a consonant sound. But an hour, because hour starts with a vowel sound.
And why is that rule even there?
It's basically for ease of pronunciation, flow. It makes speech smoother. Try saying hour quickly. It kind of bumps, right?
Yeah, it does. An hour is smoother.
Exactly. It's a tiny phonetic optimization that makes language just work better when spoken. Less effort.
Huh. Never thought about it that way. Okay, so from articles, which established general or specific, we move to pointing.
Pointing with words.
That's the demonstratives family. This, that, these, and those. Their job is literally to point to specific things.
Yep. This car right here.
Mm-hmm.
Those books way over there.
And the chapter has that handy table, doesn't it? Breaking them down.
It does. It's super clear. This is singular and near. That is singular and far.
Makes sense.
Then these is plural and near. And those is plural and far.
Near, far. Singular, plural. Simple grid.
It is. And it directly connects to how we, you know, physically orient ourselves. We point naturally. These words map onto that physical reality.
So it connects language to space.
Precisely. It makes language super efficient for showing location and number together, like linguistic GPS, as you said earlier.
Okay, third family. This one's about quantity. but maybe not exact numbers yet, the quantifiers.
Right. Words like some, many, much, few, several, a lot of.
And their function is pretty obvious from the name. They show amount or quantity.
Exactly. Many people implies a large number. Much water means a large volume. A few flowers, a small quantity.
Seems straightforward.
Mostly, yes. But there are nuances, subtle differences. The source touches on this implicitly. Like the difference between few and a few.
Oh, yeah. What's the deal there?
Well, few often has a slightly negative feel, suggesting not many, maybe fewer than hoped or expected, like few people came. Sounds a bit disappointing.
Right.
Whereas a few just means a small number, but it feels more neutral or even positive. A few people came. Sounds like, okay, some people showed up.
So the quantifier itself can carry a bit of emotional weight or expectation.
It absolutely can. It shows the power these words have to shade meaning. Even when talking about approximate amounts, it's not just about counting.
That's really interesting. Okay, from quantity to ownership. Family number four, possessives.
My, your, his, her, our, their
intentions. Show ownership. Simple enough. My house, your idea, her dog.
Or my puppy, like in the example.
Right.
And these are incredibly efficient. Think about it. Instead of saying the house that belongs to me.
You just say my house. Much quicker.
Way quicker. It instantly sets up that relationship between the owner and the owned thing. Makes conversation flow much more naturally.
Establishes connections.
Exactly. And not just ownership. Sometimes relationship, like my friend or association, our team. Very versatile.
Okay. Last family. The most precise ones, maybe. Numbers.
Yep. 1, 2, 10, 100. All the cardinal numbers.
And their job is crystal clear.
Yeah.
Show exact number.
Yeah.
No ambiguity here.
None at all. Three friends. You know exactly how many. One story. Not several. Just one.
Contrasts nicely with quantifiers.
It does. Quantifiers give you a sense, an estimate sum, many. Numbers give you precision.
Like two cookies. You know it's not three, not one.
Exactly. In situations where precision matters, numbers are indispensable. They eliminate all guesswork about quantity.
Okay, so those are the five families. Articles, demonstratives, quantifiers, possessives, and numbers. That covers the types.
A good overview.
But now, this leads to something that trips people up sometimes. The difference between these determiners and adjectives.
Yes. A common point of confusion. Because sometimes they look similar or appear near nouns.
So the source gives us another really useful grammar bite here. A key takeaway. It says, determiners limit or specify.
Adjectives describe. That's the absolute core difference.
Limit versus describe. Can you elaborate on that? Maybe with the examples from the chapter.
Sure. Let's take my bike.
What?
My is a possessive determiner. It tells you which bike. It limits the possibilities down to the one that belongs to me.
Okay. Specifies ownership.
Right. Now compare that to red bike. Red is an adjective. It describes a quality of the bike, its color. It doesn't tell you which specific bike it is, just what kind of bike.
Ah, I see. One identifies, the other characterizes.
Exactly. Another example, those children. Those is a demonstrative determiner. It points out which specific children we mean.
Limiting again.
Yes. But tall children uses tall, an adjective, to describe a characteristic of the children. It doesn't single them out like those does.
Got it. And the last one.
Two cookies. Two is a number, a determiner. It tells you exactly how many. It specifies the quantity.
Limits the number to two.
Right. Whereas sweet cookies uses sweet, an adjective, to describe their taste, a quality.
Okay, that distinction limit specify versus describe really clears it up.
It's crucial. And understanding it makes your own communications so much clearer and more effective. You choose the right tool for the job.
Whether you're writing or just talking.
Absolutely. It prevents misunderstandings. Knowing whether you need to point something out, determiner, or just add detail, adjective, is key to getting your message across accurately.
It really makes you appreciate how much work these little words are doing.
Unsung heroes, like you said earlier.
So let's just quickly recap the core idea from this chapter then. Determiners, small words, big jobs.
Definitely.
They come before nouns, acting like signposts.
Guiding the listener.
Yeah, telling us which one, how many, whose, or what kind. They specify, they limit, they bring clarity.
And looking at the bigger picture, really getting a handle on these, even though they seem basic, truly refines how you communicate.
How so?
Well, it gives you conscious control over the precision of your language. You avoid ambiguity. You ensure your message lands exactly how you intend it. They're foundational for clear sentence structure.
So mastering them means mastering clarity.
In a very real sense, yes. Clarity and impact.
Okay, so here's the thought to leave everyone with. The next time you're reading something or maybe just listening to a conversation, try to spot the determiners.
Become a determiner detective.
Yeah. Notice how this, some, my, how they subtly guide your understanding.
How they shape the message.
Exactly. And maybe even play around with it in your head. How does the meaning or the feel of a sentence change if you swap a for the or some for those?
It can change quite dramatically. The nuance is fascinating.
It really is. It shows you their power.
A great exercise.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Chapter 9 and into the surprisingly fascinating world of determiners.
Always a pleasure to explore language.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep noticing how language works. We'll catch you next time.